Thank you very much, Maurice, for your welcome. And we do understand that leaders have to lead, and there's no problem as far as time is concerned, as far as I'm concerned. Good to be here with you this morning. I've been with you actually on a number of occasions that you don't know about, because when the churches were shut, we actually on a number of occasions tuned in to Lurgan. Now, I don't know whether that's backsliding or not. But they say that the cows in the field go to where the grass is greener. And I must say, thanks. I enjoyed the ministry of all those who ministered, some of them here this morning. And we do pray that God will bless all of us and bless you at this particular time. And do support your office bearers at this time. It's not an easy job to lead a church. I'm speaking from experience. It's not an easy job. You cannot please everyone. And do pray for them and give them as much support as you can. Let's just have a little word. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your word as we open it this morning. We do ask that, Lord, as we gather here, we're all different in so many ways. And we pray, O God, that you would come to us, because you know each one of us. And we pray that you'll minister to our hearts today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified, for it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. Now, I want to turn you to Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27. And just reading a few verses, it's a psalm of David, and verse 1 through to 6. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." We know that God will add his blessing to his word. You can see from the psalm, if you have a good marginal Bible, it's a psalm of David. And it's one of those psalms that belong to that little cluster of psalms that we find at the beginning of our book. They're all the psalms of David. And when we think of David, we think, of course, of David in different ways. We think of him as the young lad of about 17 years of age, who had the courage to go and face the giant when all his warriors, all the warriors of Israel, were afraid of Goliath. He faced him. When we think of David, we think of him as the king of Israel. But I think when we think of David, mostly, we think of him as the sweet psalmist of Israel. And I'm sure our souls are blessed continually as we read the Psalms, as we listen to them. My, we think of David as the psalmist of Israel. And this was one of David's psalms. And of course, in spite of his love for God and a saintly life, my, we find that David had troubles. It says in verse 2, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came against me." So he had enemies and he had foes. In verse 3, though a host should encamp against me. And in verse 5, he talks about the time of trouble, that God would hide him in his pavilion. You see, in the midst of life, there's good days and there's bad days. But in verse 4, it says this. It says here, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, when his foes and enemies came against him, when he was surrounded by trouble of so many different kinds, the desire of David's heart was that he would be taken up with the Lord, that he would be occupied with him, that he might be able to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, so that he might behold the beauty of the Lord. My dear friends, he was seeking to get the Lord interviewed, to be taken up with him. You remember in another psalm he said, I have set the Lord always before me. And the application of that to us this morning, as we go through life, there's all sorts of situations that we have to face, circumstances we have to experience. And we're in that period of time at the minute with this COVID-19, that there's experiences, that there's situations, and many people are finding them difficult. Now, there's people who are lonely because of it. There's people who are full of fear. There's people who are concerned about so many things, maybe business people who are suffering because of that. And there's so many things, you know, that tend to come in upon us and even get us down. And I want to think with you this morning, friends, as we take that into consideration, I want to think with you about the beauty of the Lord. That was the desire of David's heart, even as he faced his foes and his enemies. Even in his time of trouble, he says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, if you just turn for a moment, keep your finger in there, but turn over to the Song of Solomon for a moment. David was desiring to see the beauty of the Lord. Here in this little book called the Song of Solomon, it's a love story. It's a love story about the bride and the bridegroom. Some of the commentators says that it's about King Solomon's love for the Shunammite woman. And of course, there's other commentators have other ideas about it. But that's one of the things that people see. And of course, it's about the bride and the bridegroom and their love. And we see the communication that they had, have the one with the other. And in chapter 5, in verse 2, we see it says, the bride says, chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon, I'm at the wrong book. It would be helpful if we would get on to the right one. Yep, here we are now. It says here in chapter 5, verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. And we see the bride there listening to her beloved. She's heard his voice. It is the voice of my beloved. Her beloved is speaking to her. In verse 6, it says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And we see here the bride looking for her beloved. She had heard the voice of her beloved, but like some of the rest of us, she was a little bit slow of responding to his voice and to his word. And by the time she got to open the door, her beloved had withdrawn himself. We see her listening to her beloved, and we see her looking for her beloved. Then we find in verse 8, you remember it says here in verse 8, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love or full of love. And she's longing for her beloved. She's listening to him. She's looking for him. And she's longing for her beloved. And these daughters of Jerusalem ask the question, they say in verse 9, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? The question's being asked, what's so special about your beloved? What has he got that others haven't got? They're saying to him, they're saying to her, what's so special about him? And you know, friends, that's the question the world is asking the child of God today. What's so special about this Jesus that you're prepared to take your stand, to turn your back on your life of sin and trust Christ as your Savior and seek to follow him all the days of your life? Or they ask to those who have heard the call of God and seek to serve the call of God, what's so special about this Jesus that you're prepared to give up a good job and leave home and leave family and go out to serve the Lord and to work for him? And we find that she answers the question there from verse 10 down to verse 16. She answers the question and she says, and she begins to describe her beloved. In verse 10, she says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Then she talks about his head, and she talks about his eyes, and she describes his cheeks, and his hands, and his legs, and his mouth. And then she brings it to this conclusion, and she says, yea, he is altogether lovely. My dear friends, she's describing him and she's saying he is altogether lovely. She's describing his beauty. And she just doesn't say he's lovely. She says he is altogether lovely. And what she's saying is that every part of her beloved is lovely. Every part of him, from his head right down to his feet. My dear friends, in these days of uncertainty, we know we do not know what the future holds. But we want to behold the beauty of our beloved this morning. We want to see that he's altogether lovely. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's precious and lovely and sweet. And we want to just take a little moment this morning to see his beauty. And I trust that our souls might be lifted. I trust that our hearts might be thrilled as we look at him again, and that we might be drawn closer to him, and that we might be taken up with him in these days in which we live. And I want just to go from book to book this morning, asking you to follow me in the scriptures. I think it's profitable if we just look at the pictures together. It's just like a picture book we're looking at, and we want to see Christ in each picture. The first one is in Romans chapter 8, this great chapter of Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters of comfort and God's word. And we find, as we read down the chapter, we find that Paul underlines God's eternal purpose for every child of God. Verse 28, I'm sure we're all familiar with it. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he's talking here about God's eternal purpose for each of his children, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And you know, friends, God's eternal purpose for every child of God that is that we will be conformed to be like Christ and with Christ for all eternity. That's God's purpose for every one of us. You couldn't preach a lost again doctrine from that scripture. Sure you couldn't. Because that's God's eternal purpose for every true born again child of God. That we, Paul speaks of us being glorified as if it had already happened. And because of God's eternal purpose, verse 35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anybody big enough? I don't know them. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then he says, Paul is persuaded here in verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, friends, we're seeing here the beauty of his love, or the beauty of his passion. Because of God's eternal purpose. You know, the greatest demonstration of love that there has ever been was at Calvary. The greatest demonstration, the greatest exhibition of love that this world has ever witnessed was at Calvary. When on the cross, Christ died for our sins. When there, hanging in shame, he shed his precious blood to redeem our souls from hell. There he offered himself as a sacrifice. He took my place and he bore my sins and bore them away in his own body on the tree. Someone has said this, that at Calvary, God couldn't have loved us more. He couldn't have loved us more. And today, he'll never love us less. God's love for you is the same this morning as it was when his son died for your sins at Calvary. My God's love is a special love, isn't it? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And God's love is a strong love. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, neither tribulation or any of these other things. And God's love is a sacrificial love because he gave us all. Oh, the beauty of his passion this morning, the beauty of the Lord. Now turn over with me again to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 begins with "Let brotherly love continue," and then we have these other exhortations following. In verse 5 we read, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." You know, friends, this is one of the great promises of God this morning. One of the great promises he has given to his people. And it's a personal promise. My, the Lord Jesus steps out onto the road of life. And remember, he knows all about you. He knows your mental situation. He knows whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. And he looks into your eyes this morning and he says, listen, No matter what's going on in your life, I want to tell you this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll always be there. My dear friends, this is a promise for every situation in life. In your hour of sorrow, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In your time of sickness, maybe it's a serious sickness. Maybe you've got bad news from that scan or something. My, it could be a storm or in the service of the Lord. But no matter what situation you're in, my, the Lord will always be there. We're in a time of social distancing for our own good. For our own good. We have to keep apart. We have to watch the things we do. I want to tell you, friends, this morning that the Lord will always be there. He'll be near at hand. My, and it's then that sixth verse comes in and it says, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do unto thee. Friends, he's with you this morning, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he's there to help you. The Lord's there to help you. Oh, the beauty of his promise. Let's turn again over into Philippians. Sorry for turning you about this morning, but it's just a sort of a one-off. Philippians chapter 4. And that leads us to another great comforting truth here. It links in actually with Hebrews chapter 13. But in Philippians 4, in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And then it says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. This has been expounded on many occasions by commentators that it's to do with the Lord's coming. I would care to differ with them. I think that this phrase here, the Lord is at hand, if you look into the Greek of some of these words, you'll find there's a translation that says the Lord is beside thee. When it says the Lord is at hand, it's speaking of his presence. And there's a translation is the Lord is beside thee. Or the Lord is nearby. Or the Lord is at thine elbow. My dear friends, if we were conscious of that, what a difference it would make. As we leave the meeting this morning, I wonder, are we conscious of the fact that the Lord is beside us? He's just there. On Thursday past, Her Majesty the Queen had her first public engagement for 7 months. Before Corona came, when she was doing her walkabouts, some people would give her flowers, others would give her a little posy, or some would even give her a little toy to pass on to her grandchildren. And when the Queen graciously received those gifts, if you remember, she would just take the flowers or the posy, and she would do that there. Because you see, she has a lady in waiting with her all the time. And the Queen knew that her lady-in-waiting was just at her elbow. She didn't need to look. She just gave it to her because her lady-in-waiting was there. My dear friends, the Lord is beside thee this morning. The Lord's with you. One of the great hymns that was ever written is that great hymn, Abide With Me. They sing it every year at the FA Cup final. I don't know how that came about. It's a traditional thing. But they sing this hymn above all the other hymns we sing. They sing, Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. It was written by a man called Henry Light, who was the vicar of Bexham, Devon. And it's believed that he wrote this hymn when he was dying of TB many years ago. He moved to Nice in France for the warmer climate in his dying days. And on the 4th of September, he wrote that hymn, Abide With Me. And on the 20th of November of the same year, 1847, he died. He penned one of the verses like this, for those of you who know your hymns. With thee at hand to bless, ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. He was conscious of the Lord's presence, that the Lord was with him. Are you conscious this morning that the Lord is beside you? Oh, the beauty of his presence today. Wonder, are we conscious each day? The Lord sees us at our best and he sees us at our worst. The beauty of the Lord. Oh, that we might behold the beauty of his passion and the beauty of his promise and the beauty of his presence, friends. Let's turn again over into Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we see here in the first four verses the ceremonial law, what the ceremonial law could not do. It says, for the law, having a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which are offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. That's what the law couldn't do. They couldn't make the comers perfect. The comers had to bring another sacrifice in a day or two. Down in verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And then we find that when we come to verse 5, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. The sacrifices of the old economy couldn't take away sin. But God sent his Son into the world, and God sent his Son into the world, and he gave him a body. And it says, in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And the will of God was that his Son would come. God gave him a body, and he gave him that body to offer as a sacrifice for sin, because as you read down the chapter in verse 11 and 12, that the priests offered oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. But this man, when he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By that one offering. What the old offerings, the many offerings couldn't do, by that one offering he hath perfected forever. My dear friends, he hath perfected us forever. Don't be thinking that you're perfect this morning. That doesn't mean that at all. It means that God sees us in Christ. He sees us in Christ. He sees us clothed. My, the rags of sin are gone. And my, we're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He talks about the new covenant. He says, and this is the covenant, verse 16, that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Praise the Lord. My dear friends, that's the beauty of his pardon this morning. The beauty of his pardon. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Praise God, our sins are gone this morning. And the Lord will never hold them against us again. This is not God being forgetful. God is not saying, I'll forget your sins. This is remembering them no more. You know, two people could have a difference of opinion. And maybe they're not on too good terms because of their difference of opinion. And then they catch themselves on and they say, look, let's forget about it. Let's give it a bye ball. Let's forget about it and go on together. And I say to my friend, whoever it might be, look, I'll forget about it. But friends, I'm a human being. And in 2 or 3 months' time, I might remember it again. You see, forgetfulness is a human frailty. But remembering no more is a divine attribute. And only God can say, thy sins and thine iniquities I will remember no more. My God has cast our sins behind his back. He has put them out of sight as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, friends, that we might behold our beloved this morning. The beauty of his passion, his love. The beauty of his promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is our help. The beauty of his presence, he's always with us. The beauty of his pardon. Our sins are gone this morning. They're gone forever. Well, they'll never be found again or even remembered again. And finally, just in a word, again in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, it just simply says this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the beauty of his person. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We live in a changing world. Many things around us change. People change, attitudes change, places change, ideas change, laws change, circumstances change. But the Lord is always the same. He's always the same. My dear friends, as we think of his faithfulness will never fail us. When we think of his high priestly work in the glory on our behalf at this very moment, how he prays for us every day. He's not only with us, and he's not only promising us his presence, and he's not only giving us his pardon, but my God, my Lord is praying for each one of us each day. Friends, as we face the future this morning, don't know what lies ahead for the rest of the winter. But oh, that we might see and be taken up with the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. May the Lord bless you and help you to fill your soul. May your soul be filled with Christ in these days in which we find ourselves. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our Savior this morning. We praise you that he's the one who's always there, the one who never fails us, the one who'll be with us today and again tomorrow. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your promise and your presence and your pardon. And we thank you for yourself. We pray that you'll bless your people and go with them into the week that lies ahead. And pray, oh God, that you would protect them and be near to them. Part us now with your blessing. Remember those who wait around this table for the glory and honor of your holy name. Amen. Amen.